Animal facts and animal snacks, it's time to start the show. Animal facts and animal snacks with your hosts Elise and Nicole.
Hey guys, this is
Animal Facts and Animal Snacks.
That's Elise.
And that's Nicole.
And today we're going to talk about crocodiles.
Yay!
So please tell them the cutest snack ever that we made today.
Oh my gosh. So this is our favorite snack. We're kind of obsessed. So Nicole made guacamole, which is delicious, and we hollowed out the avocado halves that we used for the guacamole and stuffed the avocado halves with the guacamole, and then used cucumbers and googly eyes to make eyeballs and carrots to make teeth. So we made crocamole.
Or guacadiles. Oh my god, it's so cute.
Very pleased with ourselves right now.
Yeah, so it's absolutely adorable. I can't wait to upload this picture and show everybody. It's so cute. And they were super easy to make and so fun to make.
They were. And everyone knows the punnier the snack, the better
the punnier. Snack. I 100% agree.
Yeah. And it's kind of healthy, so go us.
No, it's the healthiest snack we've had thus far.
We're not eating dessert, so be proud.
Yeah, really exciting. Yep. Okay, Elise. So let's get started. Let's start talking about just what's a crocodile.
Okay. So a crocodile is a large aquatic reptile that lives throughout the tropics in Asia, Africa, North and South America, and Australia. So every single continent except Antarctica. And so far on this podcast, we've only talked about mammals. So if you're looking at the scientific name, the Latin scientific name of any species, or the Latin nomenclature, this nomenclature is organized into hierarchical systems. So the most broad systems at the top, and then each organizational system gets narrower and narrower down to species.
Okay, so we're kind of picturing like a family tree almost, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. So where reptiles and mammals diverge goes back thousands and thousands of years. So they're both in the kingdom Animalia, which is the largest organizational structure. The next level down is phylum, and they're both in the phylum Chordata.
And that means what?
So a chordate is any animal with a hollow nerve cord on their back. So basically a spinal column.
Okay.
And then this is where they diverge. So mammals are in the class Mammalia, and reptiles are in the class Reptilia. So they diverge pretty early on in that family tree. Crocodiles are the first reptiles that we've talked about. So maybe we should talk about what a reptile is?
I think so.
Okay. So reptiles are tetrapod vertebrates, which means they have four limbs or are descended from creatures with four limbs. So things like turtles, snakes, lizards, crocodiles.
So snakes at one point had four limbs?
Yeah, their ancestors had four limbs.
Wow.
Which is part of what makes them reptiles.
I would, in my head, think that like the limbs come after. Like I would think that snake, no limbs, and then they would grow limbs. Like snake first, then lizard.
Right.
You were saying it's kind of like lizard, then snake.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, like evolution was like, you don't need limbs.
Right.
You'll
Let's
be fine
take
without
those away
them.
Again. Yeah.
Okay, super interesting to know.
Yeah. Reptiles are found on all continents except Antarctica, just as are crocodiles. Reptiles can be anywhere from 0.7 inches long up to 20 feet long and can weigh 2,200 pounds. Most reptiles are oviparous, which means they lay eggs with little or no embryonic development in the mother, so complete opposite of humans and other mammals. They all breathe air using lungs like us. They shed their skin throughout their lifetimes. We shed our skin throughout our lifetimes, but not all at once. It's a little bit at a time while you're in the shower or while you're sleeping.
So like they some shed skin cells the way snakes shed like their whole skin, you can like basically
see the shed. Yeah.
So you're saying like a lizard does that and a crocodile that is gigantic would also
shed? To some extent, yeah, they do.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's totally fine. Reptiles are also cold-blooded, so they have limited physiological means of keeping their body temperatures consistent and often rely on external heat sources. So there's a couple different ways of being cold-blooded, but most reptiles are ectotherms, which is an organism in which internal physiological sources of heat are of negligible importance in controlling their body temperature. So our body temperatures remain constant all the time if we're in a hot room or standing inside a walk-in freezer. Like, our body temperature is always the same if you put a thermometer in your mouth. Reptiles' body temperatures vary depending on their environment. This is useful because a low resting metabolism and a cold body temperature requires far less fuel to sustain bodily functions. So reptiles can actually save considerable amounts of energy compared to endothermic animals of the same size, like us.
Okay.
So, for example, a crocodile needs a tenth to a fifth of the food supply of a lion of the same weight and can survive for up to 6 months without eating. They can live off a single large meal due to their slow digestion.
Wow. Yeah, I actually also read that another thing that assists with their digestion is crocodiles specifically will eat small stones, and that will help grind up the food in their bellies and help slow down their metabolism.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so lots of different ways that their
their
digestion is aiding them, and this these digestive adaptations, this low metabolism, actually allows reptiles to survive in regions where the net calorie availability is too low to sustain large-bodied mammals and birds. So in habitats where other animals couldn't find enough food to survive, reptiles can. So now that we've talked a little bit about what a reptile is, we can get more down into the nitty-gritty of what makes a crocodile. So crocodiles are in the kingdom Animalia, the phylum Chordata, the class Reptilia, and then the next level down is the order. They're in the order Crocodilia. And you would think that would just be crocodiles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But Crocodilia actually includes crocodiles, but also alligators, caimans, gharials, and false gharials, which are all things that look very crocodile-like,
okay,
but aren't necessarily true crocodiles.
So like big lizards.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Then you get down into the family Crocodilidae, and then you get down into a subfamily, Crocodilinae, and that's actually your true crocodile.
I feel like you're making it up.
I know.
These sound like made up words.
Yeah. I promise they're real. So currently there are 15 living species of crocodiles, and crocodiles are actually some of the most ancient species in the world. They are actually more closely related to birds and dinosaurs than they are to modern day lizards.
Wow.
Yeah. So genetically, they are the closest thing to dinosaurs that we still have on our planet.
Wow. I mean, I wish that we could actually get to interact with real dinosaurs or see them, but I guess crocodiles are a close second. Yeah, no. Don't get any ideas out there. Okay, so then tell me more about their characteristics, I guess, these dinosaur-like creatures, the next best thing.
Okay, so crocodiles are semi-aquatic, so they live in land and water. And they congregate in freshwater habitats like rivers, lakes, and wetlands. And they sometimes live in brackish or even saltwater habitats. They're carnivorous, as are most of the animals we talk about on our podcast. We need to do some prey species.
All the cool ones.
All the cool ones are carnivorous. So they eat everything from fish to reptiles to birds, mammals. They're ambush predators, so they lie in wait for these prey species. As I mentioned, they're tropical species, so all 15 species of crocodiles are tropical, which makes them very cold sensitive, so they don't tolerate cold temperatures very well. They are very adept movers on land or water. They have very streamlined bodies that enable them to swim swiftly, and they even tuck their feet to the side while they're swimming to decrease water resistance.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I read that they can actually swim about 20 miles per hour.
Oh my gosh.
And they can hold their breath for around an hour as well.
That is crazy.
And they're fast on land too. I mean, not super fast, but they can run up to 11 miles per hour for a short distance. And that sounds way faster
than us.
It's faster than I would think a crocodile can run, I guess.
A giant log-looking thing with short little legs, you would not think could run that fast.
For sure.
So, not only can they swim really fast, as you just mentioned, they also can make very sudden turns in the water. They are very maneuverable. And they have webbed feet. They're the first animal we talked about with webbed feet.
Well, except me.
Except Nicole.
Yeah.
Right. So, their webbed feet are used to make fast turns and sudden moves in the water. And you said you're not a good swimmer, so you can't
I'm the
make
worst
fast
swimmer.
Turns. That's such a
I don't make anything fast in the water.
So you're not part crocodile.
No. Thankfully.
And as you mentioned, they can hold their breath for up to an hour. They actually have a palate or a rigid tissue at the back of their mouth that blocks the entry of water into their mouths. So they're cheating a little bit. They have some helpful adaptations to help them hold their breath. And their nostrils actually close when they submerge their head. So they don't have to plug their nose. Their nose plugs itself.
That's so cute.
Yeah. They have smooth skin on their stomach and their sides, but all their other body surfaces are armored with osteoderms, which are bony deposits forming scales or plates on the dermis layer of their skin. And this thick and rugged coating provides them with protection, but also allows heat absorption. Remember, they're ectothermic, so they need to absorb heat from their environment or give off heat to their environment in order to maintain their body temperature. Now, their size varies greatly, which I know Nicole's going to get into in a little bit, right? Okay. But they can be anywhere from 4.9 feet long. That's the dwarf crocodile, the smallest type of crocodile.
That's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, tiny little crocodile. To the saltwater crocodile, which can be up to 23 feet long and can weigh 2,200 pounds.
Oh, it's terrifying.
So, practically a dinosaur. Like, this is practically dinosaur
size. Just a short dinosaur.
Yeah. So, among all of these species of crocodile, they have pronounced sexual dimorphism, which means that two sexes of the same species exhibit different characteristics beyond differences in their sexual organs. So, for example, I know, that's really confusing,
yeah.
Right?
What?
Nicole's rolling her eyes at me.
Use human toggles. We're not all zookeepers.
Okay, so humans are sexually dimorphic, right? Like, men and women look very different. Men can grow facial hair. Women can't. That's just one of the many examples of ways that female and male humans are different from each other. So crocodiles are sexually dimorphic, too. The males are much larger than the females, so there aren't that many visible differences other than size. Some other species that are really sexually dimorphic are African lions, right? The males are much bigger. They grow those huge, poofy manes. The females don't. So if you watch The Lion King, like, Simba has a mane, Nala does not, right? Okay. So they look very different from each other. So it's easy to tell at a glance which is the male and which is the female if they're adults. Peafowl are also very sexually dimorphic.
Most, what is a peafowl?
Right. So most people don't even know they're called peafowl because we hear the name peacock.
Oh.
Peacock is just the male peacock. So the male peacock is that big showy tail. They're like blue and all those different colors, right, with the eye spots all over their tails. The females are brown.
Oh, that's so sad.
They don't look anything like the peacocks. So they're the peafowl. An animal that's not sexually dimorphic is a lovebird. They both look the same. Males and females look so similarly that vets actually have to feel their pelvic bones to tell which is a male and which is a female lovebird.
Whoa.
And sexual dimorphism, this is such a tangent, but sexual dimorphism is linked to the type of reproduction that your species has. So typically, the more monogamous the species, the less sexually dimorphic. So lovebirds mate for life.
Oh my god.
So yeah, that's why they're called lovebirds.
That's so sweet.
So they mate for life. So they only have to attract one mate in their whole lifetime. So they don't need to look showy or flashy or different from each other. The more partners your species has in its lifetime, the more you need to worry about attracting a mate. So the showier and flashier one of those sexes has to be to attract a mate.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, humans aren't as monogamous as we think we are.
I didn't know if I should bring up humans. Uh-huh. We look pretty similar to, I mean, it's not as obvious as a peacock and a peafowl, right?
Right.
Which one's male, which one's female. But
we don't look exactly the same, which means that somewhere back in our history, humans were not always monogamous.
Oh, that is a topic for another podcast.
Yes,
not our podcast.
Anyway, moving on from sexual dimorphism.
Back to crocodiles.
Back to crocodiles.
What the people came here for, Elise.
Not a discussion on reproductive practices. Okay, so crocodiles are also polyphyodontic, which is an animal whose teeth are continually replaced.
Yeah, so I read, tell me if this is correct, that reptiles, specifically crocodiles, will go through about 8,000 teeth in their lifetime.
Which is 8,000!
That's so many teeth!
So that's drastically different from humans and other animals, which are diphyodontic, which means you only get two successive sets of teeth. So, crocodiles are much more adapted for chewing than we are.
Are you going to tell us about their bite force?
Yeah, we can talk about their bite force. Crocodiles have the strongest bite force in the world, specifically saltwater crocodiles. Their bite force is 3,700 pounds per square inch. So, stronger than any other recorded animal.
Insane. But, did you know that their muscles that open their jaw aren't very strong. So they have the strongest closing force, right? They snap shut. They can break an arm or a leg easily, right? Through the bone. But their muscles that open their jaw are pretty weak. So like a reasonably strong person can hold a crocodile's mouth shut with just their bare hands.
That's really cool. And at zoos, for medical procedures, vets and keepers will often just tape a crocodile's mouth shut with like masking tape or surgical tape, and the crocodile actually can't open their mouth beyond the force of that little piece of tape around their jaws.
It's incredible.
Yeah. This animal that their mouth shuts like a steel trap can't open it very well. So speaking of their teeth and their mouths, a crocodile's main weapon is their canine-like teeth. And these teeth are normally used for seizing prey, but are also useful for displaying and fighting with other crocodiles and potential threats. So crocodiles are the most social reptile. They don't live in social groups, but they congregate together. They're not particularly territorial, but they do have a hierarchy. So often when crocodiles are together, they'll have to display to each other to put each other in their place, and they'll sometimes even have to fight to assert their dominance over each other to get the best, basically, basking or suntanning spots on the shores or the best hunting grounds. So not only are crocodiles displaying and fighting with one another, they are one of the most aggressive animals in the world. They do not particularly like other animals, including humans, intruding into their space. So when a crocodile is threatened, it will gape its mouth open to expose its teeth and its yellow tongue. Fun fact, crocodiles' tongues are fixed in place, so they actually can't stick their tongues out like we can.
So why even have a tongue?
I think it helps move the food around. They just can't push it out of their mouths like we can. So if gaping and showing its teeth and basically making this intimidating snarl face doesn't work, the crocodile typically begins to make hissing sounds. Crocodiles are actually very vocal, sidebar. They are the most vocal of all reptiles. They chirp, they make distress calls, they make threat calls, they hiss, they make a hatching call, they bellow. Males will even make an infrasonic call to warn other males to stay away. So infrasonic calls are below our hearing level, so we wouldn't be able to hear this call. But the call is so powerful that it vibrates the surface of the water.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If just showing its teeth doesn't work, a crocodile will make a threatening call or a hissing sound. So if all of this doesn't work, which if you're a prey species or another crocodile or a human, I would run away, but you know.
Faster than 11 miles per hour.
Okay, so if all of this doesn't work, then the crocodile will change its posture to make itself look bigger and more intimidating. Doesn't seem super necessary if you're a 23-foot saltwater crocodile.
2,000 pounds.
Right. So it will make itself look even more intimidating.
Oh my God.
And then they'll attack. So when attacking, some species use their heads as sledgehammers and literally smash an opponent. Other crocodilians will rush or swim towards the threat or the other crocodile from a distance, even chasing their opponent onto land or galloping after it. And then, if none of that works, they will bite using their 3,700 pounds per square inch bite force.
Oh my God.
So, extremely intimidating. Not only is this intimidating to other crocodiles and potential threats, but this is actually really intimidating to prey as well. So
I could imagine.
Right. Yeah. If you're a prey species, you don't stand very much of a chance. So, not only are crocodiles equipped with these incredible teeth and this fascinating musculature in their mouths, but they also have the most acidic stomachs of any vertebrates, so they can digest bones, hooves, horns with absolutely no problem. And as we mentioned, they're apex predators, so they eat everything from crustaceans to buffalo, which is why it's so important to be able to digest bones, hooves, and horns. And in fact, they'll even steal from other predators. They are that tough. Wow. So if you search on YouTube for crocodile captures prey, you can find tons and tons of awesome videos of crocodiles taking down different species. One of my favorites is called Battle at Kruger. So Kruger National Park in South Africa. So if you just search Battle at Kruger on YouTube, you can go watch this incredible crocodile hunt. And I don't want to give it away because it's really cool. So okay. You should all go watch it.
Okay, we'll have to go watch it.
Yeah. In addition to this, and to help make them these apex predators that even steal from other animals, crocodiles also have acute senses that they use for hunting. Their eyes, their ears, their nostrils are all on the top of their heads, so crocodiles can lie almost submerged and camouflaged and basically look like floating logs to their prey. They have great night and color vision, so they're mostly nocturnal hunters because they can see better at night than most prey animals can. And this is actually helped by their vertical slit-shaped pupils. So they have eyes very similar to cat eyes. So these vertical slit-shaped pupils protect their eyes from the harsh daylight by letting less light in, and they maximize the small amount of light that's available at night so that crocodiles can actually see better than animals with round pupils like us. Crocodiles even have a nictitating membrane, which is a transparent third eyelid that goes from the inner corner of their eye across their eyelid. And this protects their eyes underwater while still allowing them to see with their eyes open.
Amazing. And disgusting.
A lot of animals have it, though. It's super cool. I'll have to bring you to the zoo sometime so you can see.
Maybe.
Nictitating membranes if you're not grossed out.
I don't know. What's next?
Hearing. Let's talk about their hearing.
Okay. I have a fun fact about their hearing, actually. So, did you know that crocodiles have such a good sense of hearing that they can literally hear their babies calling to them from inside the egg?
That's crazy.
Yeah, inside the egg.
That's amazing. So, speaking of eggs, crocodiles lay their eggs in holes or nests on land, but their mating always occurs in the water after a courtship period. They can lay, depending on the species, anywhere from 7 eggs in a clutch or a group to 95 eggs
oh
in a clutch.
Oh my gosh, that's a big difference.
Really big difference. So it totally depends on the species.
Wow.
And this is fascinating to me. The sex of the babies is not determined by genetics or sex chromosomes like us.
What?
Crocodiles don't have sex chromosomes. The sex of the babies is determined by the temperature that the eggs are laid at.
No.
Yes.
That doesn't even make sense. That's right. Like an old wives' tale where crazy. They're like, if you reproduce when there's a full moon on a Wednesday, it'll be a girl.
Right. Yeah. If you put ice in the bedroom. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This is a real thing.
Oh my God.
So 30 degrees Fahrenheit or less, the eggs are all female.
What?
Yes. 31 degrees Fahrenheit, the eggs are female and male. 32 to 33 degrees Fahrenheit, the eggs are all male.
Right.
Above 33 degrees Fahrenheit, the eggs are all female again.
Wow. So good chances of females, not as good chance of males.
Yeah. And 1 degree difference. Like the eggs can somehow sense a 1 degree difference, which is crazy.
And that's just at the time when they're laid,
not throughout their whole development, just for that critical period of time when they're first laid and maybe for a couple days after.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
Crazy. And mom is very attentive this whole time. So the average incubation of these eggs, again, depends on the species, but average incubation is about 80 days. And the mother defends the nest the whole time, that whole period of time. She'll leave occasionally to hunt. But other than that, she's with the eggs the entire time. And then once the eggs hatch, the hatchlings are cared for by their mother or father for up to a year because they're so vulnerable to predation. In fact, when the babies are hatched, mom will actually carry them down to the shoreline in her mouth.
Aww.
Yeah, so she's, in spite of all of the bad reputation that crocodiles have and how scared of them people are, they're actually fabulous mothers.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, I think that's incredible. And they're actually really smart. Crocodiles are some of the smartest reptiles. They hunt cooperatively together. They actually have hunting strategies where one crocodile will flank the prey, and the other crocodile flanks the prey on the other side, and they'll push it to a third waiting crocodile.
Oh, like the raptors from Jurassic Park.
Exactly. So they can hunt like that. They memorize prey patterns. So there have been studies where crocodiles can actually memorize different times of day that prey comes to drink at a specific watering hole or walks in a specific way across an area. So they can memorize what animals do what. And the most amazing thing to me is they will actually bait birds in the spring. So in the springtime when birds are looking for twigs to build their nests, crocodiles will actually put twigs on their faces so that birds will come down to get the twigs and kaboom!
That's
the crocodile
amazing.
Eats the bird. Yeah, and they only do it in springtime, which is the only time that birds are building nests. So
they're
they know.
So smart. Well, they've been around for thousands and thousands of years, right?
Yeah.
One of the oldest.
A long time to learn. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're also very trainable in zoos. So most people don't think about training reptiles, but there's all these amazing videos of zookeepers training crocodiles to do different behaviors in zoos.
That's really cool.
So yeah, really smart animal. Speaking of zoos, I think that one of the most common questions that zookeepers get is that a crocodile or an alligator? And what's the difference? So, Nicole, I know you have a lot of really cool information about how to tell these two types of animals apart.
Yeah, totally. So, I'm not going to talk about all the species of crocodiles and alligators. I'm just going to kind of stick with the more common ones that we know about. So, in this comparison, we're going to talk about saltwater, Nile, an American crocodile, and then the American alligator. Okay?
Okay.
So their snout shape is probably the easiest way to tell them apart. An alligator has a wide U-shaped snout, where a crocodile has a pointed V-shape. And next is their teeth. So with their mouth shut, you can still see all of a crocodile's teeth. Both of their jaws are roughly the same size, so their upper and lower teeth will interlock when their mouth shut. So a lot of people refer to this as a toothy grin. And especially their fourth tooth on their lower jaw will stick up over the upper lip. So they kind of have like that reverse vampire look,
okay,
I guess.
Okay.
And an alligator, all of their teeth are hidden when their mouths are shut. Their upper jaw is slightly wider than their bottom one, so when they close the jaw, everything's just hidden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
that's a really easy way to
tell them
apart.
Just looking at them face on, just look at their snout. If you can see their teeth and they have a point to your snout, then it's a crocodile.
Okay.
Right? And then there's where they live. So as you said, crocodiles can live in fresh or salt water, and they're located in Africa, North America, South America, and Asia. Alligators only live in fresh water. So they like marshes, lakes, and they're mainly in Southeast United States, South America, and China. And actually, the only place that you will be able to find both a crocodile and an alligator is the southern tip of Florida.
Really?
Yeah. And this also has to do with their biology, right? This geographical separation. Because crocodiles have a well-developed salt gland on their tongue that lets them expel large amounts of salt, enabling them to live in more saline waters. And alligators don't function as well, leading them to have to pretty much stay in freshwater habitat. Okay, and then you can look at their skin. So both crocodiles and alligators have small pits or dermal pressure receptors, which enables them to locate prey by recognizing small pressure changes in the water made by other animals.
I've heard that crocodiles can detect vibrations as small as a single drop of water falling in the lake or river.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So, crazy. Super sensitive pressure receptors.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a crocodile, though, these pits, which kind of look like small dots, are pretty much every inch of a crocodile's body. But an alligator, they're only on the jaw. So that's another really easy way to tell them apart.
Okay.
So an alligator has more smooth skin and then just these like pits more in the snout area and the jaw area, where crocodiles will have them covering their whole entire body.
Okay.
Then there's also the coloring. So alligators are usually a blackish gray. They're darker than a crocodile. Crocodiles are like an olive green or a brownish color. And then there's the size. So crocodiles are usually larger. But again, since there are multiple species, we'll just talk about the American crocodile versus the American alligator, just to be fair. So an American crocodile can also weigh up to about 2,000 pounds and be 15 feet in length. And like you said, the saltwater crocodile can be even bigger than that and even longer than that, right? And an alligator will pretty much max out at about 1,000 pounds. So it's about half the weight of a crocodile. And will be anywhere from like 10 to 15 feet long. And then their diet. So they're both opportunistic predators, but based on their location, they have a slightly different menu. So crocodiles will eat mainly small mammals, fish, birds, but they can eat anything from zebras, hippos, water buffalo, and even sharks.
Wow.
Yeah. And they can eat up to half their body weight in one feeding.
Wow.
They've also been known to attack people, but more likely will not try to eat people, but like you said, they're very aggressive. So
okay.
They
so
have
it's
been
not
known.
Their primary food source or their first choice for food, but if they're really hungry or
it's
this
an option.
Person threatening them,
yeah.
Attacking a person is an option.
Totally.
Okay.
And alligators feed mainly on fish, turtles, snakes, small mammals. However, they also have been known to eat pets or in very rare cases, humans.
Okay.
Yeah. And then their threat level. So crocodiles are a lot more aggressive than an alligator. Not that you shouldn't be scared of an alligator. Please don't try to pet the alligators. But they are typically less aggressive than a crocodile. And then they're nesting. So as you said, crocodiles lay eggs in either the mud or the sand, where alligators will lay their eggs in mounds of vegetation surrounding their fresh water.
Okay.
Yeah. And then their lifespan. So alligators will live for like 30 to 50 years, and crocodiles can live 70 or even up to 100 years.
I actually read that Steve Irwin rescued a crocodile that we think lived to be 120 to 140 years old.
That's incredible.
Which is just amazing. So not only are they ancient animals, they're very old animals.
Wow. Well, I guess when you're an apex predator and really have nothing, like, what's threatening a crocodile, right? Like, they can live forever, I guess.
Right. Humans.
Yeah. Surprise!
Surprise!
Yeah, so basically the answer is always, if you can't think of a single predator that could be risking the life of this tiger, this alligator, this bear, this huge, gigantic, enormous animal that would threaten anything that it came in contact with, what could possibly be threatening its life? The answer is humans.
Always humans. So, as we've mentioned, crocodiles are found in 91 countries in the world, which is 51% of all the countries in the world, which was news to me because I apparently did not know how many countries we have in our world, so that was educational. So they're found on all continents except Antarctica, and as we've talked about, they're found in saltwater habitats, brackish and freshwater habitats. So they're very generalized to live all over the world. They play a key role in our ecosystems to control prey populations, and luckily their historic range is very similar to our present day range. So we haven't lost a lot of habitat for crocodilians. However, many species are critically endangered. Some species were hunted almost to extinction due to fear, so very similar to the wolf episode we did. And just like wolves, crocodiles have a really bad reputation. For example, have you heard of crocodile tears? Like, stop crying those crocodile tears. Have you heard that expression?
Not before today when I read it. But no, I had no idea what it was until then. So tell us all about it.
Okay, so when somebody says to stop crying those crocodile tears are supposed to be like fake or insincere tears that aren't real. There's no real emotion behind them. They're basically, if someone says that to you, they're calling you a hypocrite, essentially. And this came about because there was a myth that crocodiles would cry to lure their prey to them. So prey would want to know what's wrong, and they'd come to find out, and the crocodile would eat them. There was another myth that crocodiles would cry while they're eating their prey, sort of like remorseful, but not really because we're going to keep eating.
But that's not to say that crocodiles don't cry. So crocodiles do generate tears. They're just not linked to any emotion. Basically, the fluid from their eyes and their tear ducts function to clean and lubricate the eye, and it's most prominent and visible when crocodiles have been on dry land for a while. So it's kind of like their version of Visine, like okay. Little eye drops for
your
themselves.
Wedding drops. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so basically people have taken this biological fact about crocodiles and warped it into something bad because they're afraid of crocodiles. So people have been afraid of crocodiles for years and years for good reason, actually. Still, in modern times, up to 200 people die each year from Nile crocodile attacks. So on the Nile River in Africa, up to 200 people die each year. So think about how many attacks that is. I'm sure there are attacks with injuries that aren't fatal. Crocodiles are also threatened by high human populations, which are fragmenting their habitats. And they're threatened by trade for body parts to make, like, crocodile skin purses and shoes and belts. They're also threatened by the pet trade. Shocking, because we've talked about how dangerous crocodiles are. People still want them as pets because people want everything as a pet. Luckily, there are current breeding, reintroduction, and conservation initiatives that are already underway with these 7 critically endangered species of crocodiles. But an increasing crocodile population increases human-crocodile conflict. Makes sense. If there's more crocodiles, there's going to be more times that humans are coming into conflict with them. So there have actually been a couple of steps taken in different countries to try and mitigate these conflicts. So for example, in Sri Lanka, people are building crocodile exclusion enclosures, which are basically 3 or 4-sided structures that are made either very cheaply out of wooden poles, or more expensive option is steel poles with wire mesh around the steel poles. And these enclosures are sunk into the shallow water next to the bank of a river, a lake, the ocean, something like that, so that crocodiles basically are excluded from that little area. So it's like a shark dive, right? You're in the cage, the sharks are outside of the cage in their natural habitat.
Yeah, I was really worried about where you were going with that. I thought you were trying to tell me that they have been putting the crocodiles in these cages.
No, no, no. Okay, the humans opposite. Are going in like these little cages, and the crocodiles can't get in through the poles or through the wire mesh. So the people are basically partitioned off from the crocodiles for things like bathing, washing their clothes, maybe even doing some simple fishing. So they're basically enclosing themselves to be safe.
Very smart.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of these projects are actually working so well that they're becoming government funded. So for example, in Matara, Sri Lanka, the government is building 45 of these crocodile exclusion enclosures for the local communities. But unfortunately, each one costs $2,500 to $3,200 American dollars to build. So it's a long undertaking, it's an expensive undertaking, but it's saving people's lives and it's actually allowing them to live compatibly with this apex predator in their habitat and not be afraid of them anymore.
That's really, well, I think they should still be afraid, but feel safe.
They're cautious, okay. But they're not. I don't think they have the same level of fear when they're going to just wash their clothes at the river, for example.
I feel like no matter what animal we talk about, you're always like, but there's no need to be afraid of the wolf, of the bear, of the crocodile. And I'm always like, well, hold on a second, guys. Let's definitely be afraid of them.
Healthy respect for nature, not fear. But if all of this information today has not been enough for you about crocodiles, we have a couple of further information suggestions if you'd like to read or watch things. So the first book that we suggest is called Lizards and Crocodilians of the Southeast, and it's by Whit Gibbons, Judy Green, and Tony Mills. And the second book, called Their Blood Runs Cold, Adventures with Reptiles and Amphibians, is also by Whit Gibbons. And then if you're more of a watching and listening person, we highly recommend any of Steve Irwin's videos. He was called the crocodile hunter for a reason. He was not killing crocodiles. He was hunting them to study them. So he was a catch and release scientist and educator, and he has some really fantastic videos in his long career with animals that we highly recommend watching.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, guys, so that's it from us. We just finished up our snack. I hope we weren't munching too loud on all our chips and guacamole during the episode. If you hear any crunching, it was most likely us. Oh, guacamole and crocodiles. It's seriously absolutely adorable, and I encourage everyone to try making them at home. It was really easy. If you're going to make guacamole anyway, you should just save the skins and make little crocodiles out of it.
They were so cute.
Adorable.
Avocado skins even look like crocodile osteoderms and their sensory pits. It's amazing.
It's so cool. Okay, guys, well, thanks for listening, and definitely give us feedback, and we'll post all of our sources so you guys can read further into those as well, and keep listening.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, bye.
Bye.